Buffy and Frodo were in the Hogwarts library late into the night, prepping for the final trek into Mordor.
Liz, I have to stop you.
Why?
Because this already sounds like the greatest story of all time.
World Stealers!
So ladies and gentlemen, give it up for World Stealers!
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to World Stealers.
This is the podcast where we take worlds gently.
We borrow generously from already invented things.
Yeah, fandoms. Established.
Yeah, we do.
Famous franchises. You know, Harry Potter, or Lord of the Rings.
Star Trek, Star Wars.
All of them.
All of them. And we write fan fiction.
Yeah. So stealing is kind of harsh, honestly.
Yeah. We don't like to think about it as stealing.
No. More taking without permission and using for our own benefit.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yeah. And people love that.
They love it.
They love, they're like, oh, I made that. But they're using it without asking me.
Oh, they...
I like that about them.
We get so many letters.
Love letters.
Yes,
mostly
love
from
letters.
Lawyers.
They say cease and desist.
Which we are pretty
sure... Which we take
sure
as a compliment,
that's
honestly.
That's code for...
Yeah.
Keep it up, guys. We love what you do.
So, first of all, we're incredibly happy to be here.
We're so excited. This is our first live show, guys.
This is our first live show.
So we're so excited.
We made it. Finally, Mom, be proud of me. And to be at a live show in a comic book store at a women's podcast fest is like so fitting to our brand.
It's everything we love.
Yeah.
I mean, there's look at these posters. This is this. We feel so at home here.
We feel safe. Like, you know, when you get into trouble, they say to go to like a fire station.
Right.
I go directly to a comic book store.
Yeah.
I know that not only one, that there's something to read.
Yeah,
to pass the danger.
Also, in the event of a zombie apocalypse, this is where
the people who know
how to handle
here,
that
they know
shit
exactly
are
what to do.
Yeah, but, like
absolutely.
Yeah, that's where we need to be. So if the apocalypse starts now,
God,
you guys
are
good.
In great, we're all good
team.
Everyone seems really positive, which will be really important when things get dire. Yeah. So a little bit about our show, because we can't assume that everybody has heard it. Our show is based on fan fiction.
Yeah. So how many people in the audience are familiar with fan fiction or have written fan? Yeah. Okay.
Cool,
okay.
Cool.
Great.
Amazing.
Yeah. My mom raised her hand. That's only because of what I do. She's like, I'm sorry. Your podcast is what? So fan fiction is, you know, if you say you loved Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And you read all the books, and you saw all the movies, and you were disappointed by the Broadway play, and you were confused by Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, that's not enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want more. I want to know why, you know, in my mind, Neville and Luna belong together.
Absolutely.
So you're right. You make that happen, right?
Yeah.
And you post it on the internet.
And you can make it happen on the internet over and over and over again.
And you can find other people on the internet who made other things happen. And you can read those for hours and hours.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have a lot of friends taking up your time, then that was a great way to pass some time.
Which is what I personally did in high school. I was a huge fan fiction nerd. I actually wrote fan fiction about the movie Heathers.
Right? Dark.
Among other things, Harry Potter, X-Men, whatever. But I think Liz was introduced to it later.
I was. I like read things that were probably technically fan. Like I would read the novelizations of the Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that fan fiction existed. Nobody told me. So I wasted time. And then I got to college and was introduced to the concept and was like, that sounds like it's weird for weirdos. And just, what was it, fanfiction.net? Oh, yeah.
Archive of their own?
Mm-hmm. There was a Harry Potter only, Harry Potter fanfiction.net, or so it was all Harry Potter.
Okay.
I didn't spend a lot of time on that instead of studying for chemistry. As we matured into the adults that we technically are. So Kate and I, a little bit about our history. Mm-hmm. We've written sketch together for a long time.
Yeah.
We met bartending. We started writing together. And our first like half hour full-blown sketch show was technically a fan fiction.
It was. We wrote a sketch show called The Millennial Falcon.
Yes. It asked the very important question, What if the Death Star had interns?
It definitely did, right?
Definitely unpaid labor on the Death Star.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that the stormtroopers started out as clones, and then they just started stealing babies. You know they weren't paying those people, so...
No, so...
I think we were right.
Death Star equals corporate America, kind of. We drew a lot of corollaries there, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty, like... If you give an intern the plans to the Death Star, of course those plans are going to get stolen.
Oh, interns can't do anything right. No, they're the worst. But then we decided, you know, like anyone who starts a podcast, me and my friend are hilarious and people should be listening to us. So we were like, let's make a podcast. What should we do? And fan fiction just seemed to fall into our laps because we were already technically doing it on stage. And then also, you know, it was the love of ours.
Yes.
So.
And at first we thought, well, what if there's so much fan fiction out there? What if we find other people's fan fictions and we dramatically read them on a podcast and, you know, maybe we'll, like, comment on them and say what we think. And then we were like, if we're going to do this, we got to walk the walk.
Yeah, we have to do it ourselves. You know, you can't make fun of people if you aren't an expert in the field.
No.
It doesn't seem fair.
But we can make fun of each other.
Oh, so much.
And
yes,
ourselves.
Absolutely.
So that's how World Stealers was born. So what we do in our podcast...
Yes.
It's every two episodes, right, technically. Mm-hmm. So we draw out of a hat a fandom, so let's say X-Men. Mm-hmm. And then we draw a genre, so let's say angst, right? And that's our homework assignment. So we go home and we write the angstiest X-Men fic you can imagine.
Yeah.
Then we come back. Uh-huh. We talk about what we learned. We talk about our writing process. Mm-hmm. And then we... read those
with terrible accents.
Whoa,
usually
terrible. We're gonna pre-apologize for any accents we do tonight.
Yeah, any dialect coaches out there, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but also
so
like, I don't know, you're not free, so
yeah. It's true. If any dialect coaches want to volunteer to help us,
we could use it. But then we perform them, and we also do, like, music production underneath, and it turns into, like, a real kind of radio drama, so it goes that extra mile for fan fiction. Some of the stuff that we've done, just to give you a little taste, is Liz did a really incredible fan fiction for Star Trek. She based it in the original series universe, and she basically wrote a whole fan fiction about how... Captain Kirk was having an episode where he was obsessed with making new Starfleet uniforms that had a very deep V to show off his incredible man chest. I loved that one, personally.
That was fun to write. Actually, Kate's Star Trek was one of my favorites, too, because she just wrote an episode of Star Trek, and there was an A plot and a B plot, and they came together, and, you know, Worf and Data were planning a wedding, and there was a space-time ripple.
There's always a time ripple in Star Trek.
There's always a time ripple in Star Trek.
Necessary.
So.
Yeah. And then today, we're going to be bringing you a fan fiction, and not just... talking about it, although we do that for most of our podcasts because we just, like, obsess over it. But today, of course, we decided, okay, it's our first live show. What can we do that's, like, special? Right?
Yeah. So normally when we write fan fictions, there'll be two episode arcs, right? Because I'll write a Star Trek, she'll write a Star Trek. I'll write an X-Men, she'll write an X-Men. And so we switch off who's reading the audio drama and then who's kind of the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
But today, because, you know, we're only doing one live show... and we haven't written together in a long time.
Yeah.
We decided we would do a co-writing.
Collaborating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yesterday after a lot of coffee, we sat in a coffee shop and we're like, what are we gonna do? Yeah. Dear God. Why do we give ourselves deadlines?
Yeah, we knew this was coming. Why didn't we write this weeks ago?
We knew months ago this was gonna happen. Liz. But we decided, okay, so despite the fact that we're definitely in a space where there's a good amount of nerds, great. Let's make it easy for everyone. We were like, what is the best franchise that everybody will understand and will get all the jokes and it'll be great? And we went back to our roots.
Yes.
Something we were already
our
really comfortable
love.
With. And we were like, Star Wars.
Yes.
Easy. We'll write a fan fiction about Star Wars. Everyone will get it. And then we were like, wait a minute.
There's two of us. Why would we stick to one fandom if there's two of us?
Why would we make it easy on ourselves the day before in a coffee shop?
Right.
When we could pick two fandoms, particularly one that probably needed a revisit.
Yeah, so we thought, what's the most disappointed we've felt
in the last year?
With television. I mean, not the most disappointed we've felt. Guys, we know where we live.
Yeah, one time I got a sandwich and they forgot the cheese.
We're going to keep it light and talk about, you know, television disappointments. And also, you know, we're women. Mm-hmm. We're going to a women's podcast festival. So what show could have used a couple of women in their writer's room?
Yeah, all of them. But true. Also, like, what show would everybody be recognized and would be recognizable? And they would. I feel like there's some guesses in the audience already.
It's Game of Thrones.
And so we were like, it needs a rewrite. It needs a revisit.
And they're like, we wish that they hadn't gone with, oh, this bitch is crazy as their ending.
Periods. Oh, the worst.
Oh man. So we decided we're gonna add on, we're gonna tack on a little bit of Game of Thrones there.
Yeah.
So the thing about, so this is what's known in the fanfiction universe as a crossover. So you build this alternate universe where these two worlds coexist. Mm-hmm. So how do you join Star Trek and Game of Thrones? Star Wars and Game of Thrones.
Ooh, blasphemy.
Sorry.
Someone could be real mad at you right now.
I gotta go. So if you'll remember, and I'm sure you'll remember, we're making this real easy. We're going original trilogy here with Star Trek.
Yeah,
Star
don't Wars. Watch the oh God, prequels. You're fine.
You're fine. So the Empire Strikes Back starts on the ice planet of Hoth. Mm-hmm. It's cold. It's desolate.
It's a tundra.
It reminds you of...
The North!
The North beyond
the wall. Because the North remembers.
Yes, it's too cold to forget anything. You're so alert.
Oh my God, you're so alert. You can never sleep. So, you know, just to give you a little bit, in our alternate universe crossover fiction, Hoth and the North are the same place.
Yeah, that's what they call in the fanfiction world an AU, otherwise known as an alternate universe.
Yes.
So if you're ever, this is Mom Sue. If you're ever perusing fanfiction.net, which I imagine you do regularly, if you see AU, that means it's just different than the established universe.
Yeah,
just
going to be differences.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, maybe Snape didn't die, you know?
Anyway.
Anyway.
Let's not dig that heart hole. Okay.
Sorry.
But before we get into our fanfiction, we have a pitch for you. This feels so much like Shark Tank that we were like, we have to bring a pitch them.
Well, it's less a pitch and more a notice.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we fight in an elaborate war all the time.
Yes.
As the hosts of a fanfiction podcast, we're constantly battling an enemy.
Yes. Specifically, copyright lawyers who work for Disney.
Yes. They are vicious.
It actually started as a war fought on multiple fronts, but now everything in entertainment is a subsidiary of Disney.
So they made it easy for us. We only have one enemy, and it's them, and they keep sending us these letters, and they have... You know, they're in suits and briefcases, so it's really hard or really easy to, like, identify who they are.
Yes, yeah. They're easy to take down. So since you're in our audience, you've been conscripted formally.
Into the tiny army. Which we used to fight against the copyright lawyers.
Yes.
And the reason we're saying this is because literally every episode of our podcast, we start out by addressing the tiny army and making sure they're okay.
Checking in.
You've got your swords.
Got your sword.
We didn't get shields. We ran out of budget.
We had a small budget. You don't get shields.
But you are. We just want to make sure that you're continuing in the fight against copyright lawyers and their evil ways.
So it's mandatory, but we did want to sell you on the idea.
Sorry. Yes. You know, with a positive swing, I think.
Yeah. So first of all. Unless you kept your, you know, 1993 VHS copy of The Lion King, you're probably occasionally frustrated with things that go into the Disney vault.
Mm.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to do Little Mermaid fan fiction, couldn't find Little Mermaid anywhere.
They locked it away.
So, you know, the end game of the Tiny Army is that we're going to break into that vault.
Take all of those VHSs.
Yeah, that now include...
That we cannot play.
All of Marvel.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All of Star Wars.
Yeah. Gross.
So, yeah, so that's, I mean, that's a pro.
That's one. Also, we have a navy in the Tiny Army, but it's not so much about oceans as it is about, like, shipping different characters together.
Yeah, yeah. You'll get to be a part of your favorite ships. Do you guys like puns?
If not, whoa, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Also, some guidelines about how we live our lives in the Tiny Army. If you just think of plot lines, believability, and the basic principles for how time travel works, and throw them out the window.
Yeah,
unnecessary.
We don't care about that.
Yeah, just make sure you spell there, and there correctly, and you're good. You're good to go.
You're in our army.
Like, yeah.
The great part about that, of course, is that if you die at any point during this war, just go back in time, respawn. You're good. You'll never die.
Our Tiny Army is basically video games.
Yeah. lots of time travel.
And finally, Tiny Army, we believe in you.
We do. We love you.
We love you. We don't do any of the fighting.
No. We'll be back in, like, the tent with the game, with the pieces.
Yeah. You know how, like, the generals are in the tent and they have the whole map laid out with the...
Yeah.
They're just playing Risk, guys.
Yeah, they're not. They're not actually planning anything.
They're not planning anything. And that'll be us in a tent looking out over all of you and your swords. Ugh, we're so proud of you.
We love you so much.
And even though the Disney copyright lawyers are a one true evil and all-seeing
eye. And they are legion.
Yeah, they are legion. We're going to defeat them one day and get into that vault.
Yeah, and, we want you to be a part of that.
And we'll be able to ultimately steal all their worlds.
And that's the point.
That's the goal here at World Stealers.
So should we get to the story?
I think, are we ready for the fan fiction?
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Okay.
We've warmed them up. We've loosened them, Liz.
There we go.
Good job.
Okay, yeah.
So before we get into it, we already covered where it's going to take place, which is on Hoth, what point in the timeline it is.
So we're post season 8 Game of Thrones. Jon Snow has been exiled to the North.
Yes, with his very best friend in the world, Tormund.
Tormund Giantsbane.
We're both reading it here, and just to give you guys some clarification, the cast is going to be Jon Snow, played by Liz Clark and Breslin, Tormund Giantsbane, played by moi, Han Solo, played by
that would be
Liz
me.
Clark
yes,
and Breslin,
also.
Leia Organa, played by me
Kate,
again.
Yeah.
Yes, great. no one else up here, so spoiler alert.
Does anyone in the audience do a really good Wookiee?
Yeah. Yeah?
Can we hear it?
Can we hear it?
Oh!
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing. Yes. Yes. I love it. That's
right.
So good, because we were going to subject you to our Wookiee, but now we're saved. Thank you.
So
true.
Can you? Do you?
True member of the Tiny Army over here.
When we point at you, will you make?
Will
a
you
Wookiee
make
noise?
A Wookiee noise? And just give it some emotion based on context.
Good.
You know, Chewbacca goes through a lot.
It.
Okay.
So. Can we all give it up for this true American
hero?
Oh
my goodness.
Yes.
Yes, amazing.
All right.
Amazing. That's your intern. Okay. Well,
we love interns.
Yes, we do.
Okay, well, thank you in advance. We're so excited to have you on board.
Yes. First let's get into the title. I'm getting ahead of myself, Liz.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Okay, so this is our fan fiction.
Yeah. It's called
The Bandolier Bandit.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know what a bandolier is, because Liz didn't yesterday when we were writing this, it's the sash that Chewie wears with all the ammo on it.
Yeah,
I originally was like, before we looked it up, I knew it was a bandolier, but I was like, it's full of Wookiee snacks.
Wookiee snacks.
Not ammo.
And I was like, no, it's a gun necklace.
So anyway, we learned that. Now you've learned
now
it.
Now
you're
know.
Welcome.
That's
yes.
Context.
And normally in our podcast, like we mentioned before, we do music production, we do sound effects, we do like an echo effect, which is very easy in post production. But here we can't really do that.
No.
But we did bring a live music setup.
We did.
Yes.
Yes.
Just to give you an idea of how our fan fiction usually runs. So as we start this story, actually, Liz, can you get the live music setup going?
Okay,
great.
Okay,
so we're opening our story. Ready? The wind whips through the frozen, desolate tundra. Two figures, one large and one slight, wrapped in the furs of conquered beasts, shoulder to shoulder, hunched against the torturous wind, walk out of the thick forest trees. They are men who are bound by blood and violence. Members of a fraternity of warriors, the last centurions, sworn to stand between mankind and the forces of darkness. Jon Snow, of Houses Stark and Targaryen, depending on who you ask, turns to his companion and says,
Well, Tormund Giant's Bane. Here we are, the last of the Night's Watch, the only men standing at the border of mankind, between the edge of the world and whatever new threat lies beyond.
Yeah, like bigger White Walkers.
Well, who knows? Could be any unimaginable danger.
Yeah, like White Walkers, but whales.
But whales?
Yeah, you know whales. They're big fish. They've got fins. They go like this. They go...
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay.
I was thinking maybe something we've never seen before.
Oh, yeah. Like White Walkers, but pirates.
What?
You know, pirates, they've got cutlasses and an eye patch, but this one's frozen.
No. I know what pirates are. But forget the White Walkers, okay? Something totally different.
Okay. Yeah, but when are they gonna get here? I'm very bored.
Well, Tormund Giantsbane.
Uh-huh.
Ideally, no threat would ever come and our people could live undeterred by the pain of battle and the cold of the bitter winter. But we stand as defense against something we hope never comes to pass.
So nothing. Okay, that sucks.
Yeah, that sucks.
Oh, there's footprints in the snow here. Do you want to just follow these and see what happens?
I mean, yeah, okay.
Standing shoulder to shoulder for warmth and protection, the two noble, battle-hardened men disappear into the blinding white abyss, tracking an enemy of unknown origin, be it fish, foe, or pirate.
Oh. All right, so new scene.
Yeah, new scene. Normally we have like a transition.
Yeah.
Sometimes we cut to commercial. We're not sponsored.
Who knows? So, Kate, do you want to take care of the music?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Da,
da, da, in a cave, just off a well-trodden path, Princess Leia Organa hunches over a rebel communicator, listening intently and occasionally tweaking the dials, but meeting nothing but static. Unimpressed, Han Solo sits by a hastily made fire, puffing impatiently and tapping his foot. Aren't you a princess? How did we get stuck with the worst job on the coldest damn planet in the galaxy?
Hoth is one of the strongest rebel bases in this system. And aren't you the sneakiest rogue who ever Kesseled a Kessel Run? You can't run a simple surveillance gig?
Aren't you the sneakiest rogue who ever Kesseled a...
I'll show you a sneaky rogue. In a flurry of ice-matted fur and panic, Chewbacca stomps into the cave, wailing gutturally and clearly distressed. What? What? What is it, Chewie? Oh, man.
What did he say?
Well, there's a Wampa out there, and he found Chewie's bandolier.
You mean his little sash with all his ammo?
Yeah.
Okay, and?
And he's wearing it.
Okay, well, we're in the middle of trying to track an Imperial scout and ambush it. We can get Chewie another necklace back at the base.
It's not a necklace, Princess. There's enough firepower in that bandolier to take out a squad of stormtroopers. And his mom gave it to him.
Well, okay, fine. The small party, hope of the Rebel Alliance, reluctantly abandoned the relative warmth and safety of the cave, hoping to placate the distraught Wookiee. A short ways ahead of them and just out of sight, the Wampa moves surprisingly quietly for a monster who stands 7 feet tall. It smiles, fangs glistening, admiring its shiny new toy, and lopes further into the woods.
Tormund and John study the freshly pressed tracks in the new fallen snow with the sharp eyes of skilled hunters. At the snap of a twig up ahead, both men go suddenly still, eyes meeting in silent agreement.
One goes left, the other right, flanking the threat as only practiced warriors can. Out of the trees lurches something tall and furry, and Tormund launches an attack, the wild cry of the free folk ringing in the air.
Ah! Demon beast!
Caught off guard, Chewie backs up. Leia and Han advance, blasters drawn.
Put your weapons down.
Who are you?
Ah, just what I like, a feisty buxom broad.
Hey, watch it, pal. Leia fires two warning shots into a tree, narrowly missing John's head.
I said drop 'em.
Tormund and John drop their swords and fall to their knees.
The Lord of the Light! She's a witch!
They don't look like Imperial spies. I thought Hoth was uninhabited.
Look, we're not going to hurt you. We're looking for a wampa. You know, tall, white-furred, vicious, kind of like a giant bear. Kills anything that comes too close. Oh, and it's also wearing a necklace.
Oh, white walkers but bears. John, we didn't think of that.
So you've seen it?
No. But we've been tracking something with large, beast-like footprints. It continues that way.
Han, Leia, and Chewie quickly set off, following the footprints, still unsure what to make of these foreigners and their loud pet, but knowing they are honor-bound to guard the north, John and Tormund follow.
Hours later, though they've still yet to find the wampa, the travelers have begun to warm to one another's company as Leia asks John the story of his people.
Wow, that's disgusting. A brother and sister? Can you imagine a brother and sister even kissing? Even an aunt and nephew.
Okay, well, that feels very specific. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They're dead now. Crushed by the stone of their own castle in each other's arms.
Well, you know, actually all the royalty back on my planet died too. I'm the last princess in my line.
I knew a princess once. A queen, actually. Beautiful blonde hair. Great with dragons.
Wow, what happened to her?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh, okay. Well, looking around here, it must be hard to be a woman here, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's not great.
Well, there aren't many women in leadership positions back where I'm from either. I mean, you know what I'd really love to see? A woman Jedi.
Ha! A woman Jedi. Oh, princess, people would hate that.
Oh, I have a story. Listen, I think you'll like it, to all of you. Do you know how I got this tall? Giant's milk. Once when I was a
John
child,
walks
I crawled
a few steps
to
away
the
from the party, having heard this story
woman,
more times than
I
he can count.
At her teat,
out of the corner of his eye, he sees movement,
months,
a flash of light against the dark trees. He hisses at Tormund to hush.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you. And they unsheath their swords as Han and Leia draw their blasters and Chewie levels his crossbow.
With a mighty roar, the wampa rushes toward its prey, swiping its long claws and baring giant fangs.
Leia leaps out of its path, her blaster knocked loose from her grip and skidding across a patch of ice out of her reach. Han, fearing for the life of his beloved princess, forgets his blaster altogether, dropping it and grabbing at the wampa with his bare hands, catching it around the arm as the wampa swings wildly, trying to free itself.
Chewie looses a bolt from his crossbow, catching the wampa in the leg and causing it to stumble. Tormund manages to strike a blow to its back, a slash of crimson glistening bright against the white fur. John stands several feet away, looking confused and shouting suggestions that everyone ignores. He knows nothing.
Finally, Leia, picking up Han's fallen blaster, takes careful aim, and with the skill of a practiced markswoman, fires a shot dead into the beast's skull. It crumples to the ground on top of Han. Chewie tears his bandolier from its neck, roaring with triumph as the rest of the party struggles mightily to free Han before he suffocates. So happy for Chewie.
Ah, yes. A short battle, but a worthy opponent.
We have acquitted ourselves with honor.
Sure, okay. Han, Chewie, maybe we should get back and see if we can still intercept those Imperial scouts.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, and you two. If you ever need a lift off this godforsaken rock, you just get in touch.
A lift? No one can lift Tormund Giantsbane. Fed at the breast of a giantess herself.
Yes, thank you, Tormund. And thank you, kind strangers. But we must stay and guard the north.
With a shrug, Leia, Han, and Chewie depart. John stares thoughtfully into the distance.
You know, Tormund, perhaps our battle with the White Walkers will someday pale in comparison to a new threat. A threat from other worlds across the sky. Who knows what magic lies beyond the horizon, across the endless expanse of night?
Hey, look what I found! Pew, pew, pew!
Tormund holds up Leia's abandoned blaster, taking aim at a nearby tree and shooting gleefully.
Come at me, whales!
The end.
Thank you.
But if you like what you heard here today, you can certainly follow us.
Oh, yeah. Follow us everywhere at World Stealers. Yeah. We are unshy about our crimes of stealing worlds.
Yeah.
And you can find us on Instagram and Twitter.
We personally are on the lam constantly, never in the same place for very long.
The only way to keep track of us, is on through our Instagram. Put together the clues like a murder mystery. I'm like, oh, they're at a coffee shop. In which city are they?
Yeah. So we love guests. We occasionally do an episode where we read other people's fan fiction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a fan fiction that you love, or you have a fan fiction you want to come on and read, email us at worldstealerspod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Twitter, World Stealers. Follow us on Instagram at World Stealers. Mm-hmm. And, go on iTunes and give us a little rate and subscribe.
Oh, we also do, if you leave a review on iTunes and you...
We'll write you a fan fiction.
We will write you a fan fiction. We will...
Give us some parameters. Yeah. We'll write you a fan fiction, and we're planning on an episode in the future where we read a bunch of minifics that we wrote for our reviewers.
If you're dying for a Snape McGonagall love fan fiction. Hoo boy.
Ooh, that's a May December in an unusual direction. I like that.
It's a what? May December?
May December relationship because one person's much older. McGonagall's much older than Snape.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I like that.
I thought you meant that's the amount of time that relationship would last.
I give him from May till December and that's done. That's probably also true.
Yeah, she would kill him eventually. Yeah, or just turn him into a slug and be like, "You stay."
Yeah,
you think about what you've done. But if you have great ideas like that, please put it in your review and we'll write it for you and we'll mention you and we'll shout you out because everybody loves a little attention.
We don't write Snape Hermione fan fictions.
That's no. Sure. Make them appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's our teacher.
Gross.
Anyway.
Not that it doesn't exist online, if that's what you're into.
Or in the real world. All right. I think that's it from us.
Yeah, it is.
So as we always say at the end of our episodes.
Hide your kids.
Hide your worlds.
Because we're coming for them. Chewbacca!